Well, we've been in a series on justice, and today we're going to specifically talk about justice and how it intersects with the issue of human trafficking. And human trafficking is a big, big problem in our world today, right? It is estimated that over 40 million people are being trafficked around the world. It's an industry that generates over $150 billion a year. I mean, these are big numbers. And perhaps one of the most alarming and urgent statistics that we understand is the average life expectancy of a woman in a trafficking situation is 7 years. Think about that. Well, we've been talking about the prophet Micah and his charge to us to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. And so this morning, it's my pleasure to introduce you to a friend who has taken that challenge to act justly. And his name is Dan Emmer. He is the executive director of an organization called Worthwhile Wear. Now, he and his family took some pretty radical steps to reorient their lives, to prioritize the pursuit of justice as it relates to human trafficking, and they birthed this organization called Worthwhile Wear. They have a couple things they do right here in Bucks County. They have a home called The Well on 83 acres up in northern Bucks County, where they're able to service for free of charge to women, trauma care and ongoing long-term care for women who are affected by trafficking. And they also have more recently established a Worth It program, which is where we got connected with their organization. And it's a six-week intense training and counseling type of classroom experience for women that have been impacted by human trafficking. And our church over the past few years has hosted this Worth It program with the support of many dedicated volunteers in our church family to come alongside Worthwhile Wear and host that here. So it is my pleasure to introduce you to Dan, and I would ask you to give him a warm Davisville greeting as he brings the word this morning.
Thank you. Well, good morning. It's good to be here, and I know you're not supposed to have favorites, but I do really like Davisville, and don't tell the others, but you guys are one of my favorites, and I think the reason for that is because you have taken it upon yourself to not just say, hey, we want to learn about this. We want to say we play, a part by giving financially and call it a day. No, you say we want to intimately get involved. And by getting involved, you host, you serve women in your community. And that means so much to me. And I've been able to, over the past several years, work alongside with your staff and your congregational members as we serve those in need. And so it means so much to me. And you truly are a special church that holds a special place in my heart. And I'm thrilled to be here today to be able to share about such an important topic, and that topic being justice. And when you think about that and the work that's being done out there, I share, about Worthwhile Wear, and Matt already gave a good synopsis. But Worthwhile Wear, we exist to reach and restore women that have been affected by human trafficking, both sex trafficking and labor trafficking. We do that as some of the programs that Matt shared about. We do that through The Well. We do it through other outreach programs, the Worth It program. We also started our work actually in India. So for those that aren't familiar, you might hear that name, or maybe you've been wondering, why did they choose Worthwhile Wear? Well, the reason for that is because we started our work in India providing women the opportunity to make Worthwhile Wear apparel and get employed, have actual employment, because in many developing countries, it's through force and fraud and coercion. They lie to them and force them into employment in the brothel areas or in prostitution. And so we allowed them to make Worthwhile Wear apparel, and that is ultimately a way for them to get out and then stay out through the making of that. And then also here in the U.S., trafficking isn't just a faraway thing. It's here in our communities. And it's happening with U.S. citizens and other U.S. citizens exploiting women here. And so The Well, as you heard, is one of those solutions. But what I'm excited is to give you a brief update as well. This year, we were working to add on additional classrooms to our education and counseling center starting in July. And even more exciting is that we've been working towards this, and I would love to see if we can get you guys engaged in this, is that we're going to be adding what we call graduated housing. So women that typically are in our program go through three phases. That last phase is the leadership phase. And right now when they get to that, they have their documents, they had a full-time job, they have everything they need to be successful, and they still stay with us at the Well housing program. But with graduated housing, we're working on rebuilding or renovating a house within the community where they can live and have that next step towards their ultimate freedom and living on their own. And so that's a huge renovation project and something that we are working towards. Also, the Worth It program is continuing to grow. Last year, there was a lot of setbacks. I think we all know that. And so the Worth It program, we are trying to make up for lost ground. So we have Davisville is already talking about hosting in the fall. We have other churches in Montgomery County, in Chester County, one in Harrisburg, one in Michigan, and one in New Jersey, all looking to host. And so in that effort, we've also, our program director for The Well is actually shifting and going to be our new director, Carla Clanigan, the new director of Worth It, as well as bringing on new coordinators so that we can expand that program. So we have a lot going on. We are excited for these things. We're also looking to start a new Worthwhile Thrift location so that we can employ more women in our programs. And so we have a lot on our plate, and I'm happy to share these things, but more importantly, I wanted to talk with you about this topic today. And I know we think about liberty and justice that kind of resounds with us as Americans, but instead, this morning I want to talk about justice and mercy. And what does it mean for us? What does justice and mercy mean for us as believers, as followers of Christ? And the passage I want to start with is Romans 12, and understand that when we read Romans 12, we also have to understand that mercy can be uncomfortable to administer, and justice can be complicated. So how do we administer justice? And for us to understand that, we're going to go to Romans 12, and it's kind of an odd passage because it's not ultimately talking about justice and mercy, but it's talking about how we should be living our lives. And understanding that where justice and mercy starts, it starts with us. It starts with us having the right frame of mind and heart, and how we should serve God is how we can administer justice and mercy. And so Romans 12, starting in verse 1, it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing, perfect will." So in order for us to administer justice in a just manner and mercy in a proper way, we must first live in a way that is in essence a form of worship, living our daily, giving our lives as a living sacrifice. So how does that look? How do we do that? And I think I could try to explain it, but the best way is to often look to examples that have been before us. And one of those being William Wilberforce. And maybe you've heard his name, especially in speaking about justice. He was a man in England who was a politician. He was also a philanthropist. And he worked day in and day out to change the mindset of his fellow citizens, that human beings, as I know you've been doing through this series, helping them understand that human beings have equal value because they were created in the image of God. Helping through his social networks and social groups, help them to understand that the importance of valuing the human life because God created each of us uniquely and individually in his image. And so what he did, he lived his life in such a way that maybe it wasn't always popular, maybe it wasn't always well received, but he had it as his priority to live daily to establish this truth among others. And we see it again in Matthew 5, verses 6 and 7. It's an affirmation in this because it says, "God blesses those who hunger and thirst and have here for justice." Now, if you're reading this in your Bible, you might be reading, "God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied." But the Greek word there is dikaiosyne, which is more accurately translated as justice. So if you are seeking justice, you will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. So Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is an affirmation that these are two values that we should pursue. But how do we pursue justice and mercy without understanding what they are? So justice, when we think about justice, we often think, I think some of us maybe think of Liam Neeson and the movie Taken, right? We think justice, I'm going to kick down a door. I have people always ask me, how many doors do you kick down? I'm like, I don't kick down any doors. Justice is not so much an act of revenge or trying to do an action. It's not an action taken. Justice is a balance established. When we think about justice and injustice, an injustice means that there has been an imbalance in the scale of justice and righteousness that God has created. And so we don't look to enact justice through revenge. Revenge actually adds another debt to the scale. We enact injustice through letting God balance the scale. Justice isn't an action taken. It's a balance established by God and experienced by us. Now, I think we all know ourselves, right? Some here might say, I know I've got a short fuse. I'm prone to anger. And maybe we, instead of having justice in the true form, we enact revenge thinking it's just. But really, we need to know that the scale that was established in the Old Testament has changed. And by that, I mean it used to be if there was an injustice or a sin, it equaled a debt. And the way you would write that scale is to offer a sacrifice to cancel that debt. So you had your debt and justice was the credit, the sacrifice was the credit. But Jesus, when he came to establish a new covenant, he introduced something to the scale, something new, this thing called mercy. So when sin was caused, a sacrifice was no longer needed. He said, I came and I am the ultimate sacrifice to right the scale. And we see that time and time again as Jesus does it all throughout Scripture. As he forgave those that abused him, his accusers. As you already heard in your passages, as he forgave the woman that was caught in adultery in John 8. As he spoke to the woman at the well with compassion and named her sins, not to accuse her, but to say, I already know. In fact, that's the reason I came. And through that mercy, he righted the scale. And through that mercy, a woman who was an outcast brought a city to Christ. And so we see how Jesus, his justice is different. He added something to the scale. And for us to also understand, what is mercy? What does that look like? Well, mercy also, it has a cost. Because there's still a debt that needs to be paid. And so when we show mercy, when you're willing to show mercy to someone that's done wrong, or maybe someone that's done you wrong, it's understanding that you are taking on the cost of that debt. When you show mercy to someone that's wronged you, you are in essence saying, I accept taking on that hardship. I accept forgiving you of that hurt and showing you mercy. It's a better way of understanding Matthew 5:7, because we are willing to bear the debt owed by another. But know that we do that because our debt has already been forgiven. We do it as a thank you in response. But we also are humans, right? And as humans, we don't do this every day. Do you? I know I don't. I think I would like to. I would like to think I could get up and I could be merciful and show justice. But the reality is we have a default. And our natural default tends to be something called Schadenfreude. It's a German word meaning shameful joy. It's that idea of like when you see someone you really don't like, and for the right reasons you don't like them, They've done you wrong, and their tree has grown over your yard for too long, and finally lightning strikes the tree and it falls in their house, and Schadenfreude, oh, it feels so good to see that tree fall in their house. But the reality is that shameful joy is our default, but that's not what we're called to do. Is we are called to show love and compassion towards others. And what happens when you have mercy instead of justice? You know, in December of 1943, there was a German ace pilot, Franz Stiegler. And as he was flying, he had flown up behind this American B-17 bomber, and he had every reason to shoot it down. And as he pulled up behind it, and he thought about how the enemy forces had already killed his brother. He thought about how the enemy forces were bombing his German cities. And he had every right within the rules of war to pull the trigger and make that plane come to its final end. But instead, as Stiegler prepared to squeeze the trigger, he thought it was strange that the bomber wasn't firing back. The rear guns weren't shooting at him. And so he flew up closer to take a closer look, and seeing that the bomber, the B-17 bomber, was riddled with bullets, the gunner in the rear was dead. And he could see actually through the plane, as he described it, there's so many holes. He could see the crew scrambling to try and aid the others that were shot and dying. And he realized in that moment that he had every right. It would be just for him to shoot them down. But he also felt it wouldn't be, because it would be murdering people in cold blood. So instead of pulling the trigger, he flew up next to the pilot and indicated to him that he wasn't going to do them harm. And so instead, he flew in front and a little below that pilot and escorted that B-17 bomber to the Northern Sea, where he finally broke off. And as he broke off, he saluted the plane. And he flew away, and the story could have ended there, and Stiegler didn't get his equivalent of a Medal of Honor, because also understand that if he shot that plane down, that would have given him his kill count for aircraft to have that equivalent Medal of Honor in Germany as we have here. And he forewent that, and he didn't do that. He also didn't go back and tell what he did, because he also could have been in trouble for doing that. And he bore that debt by showing mercy. But over 50 years later, Charles Brown, the pilot of that plane, tracked Stiegler down. And he and his other members from that flight threw a reunion party, and they invited Stiegler to come as their guest of honor. And as they shared with him about how that day felt, they also shared with him pictures of their families and of their children, of their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. And because of that act of mercy instead of justice, Stiegler was seen as a friend. And he and Charles Brown became friends from the mid-90s till 2008, when they both died in 2008, became friends because of this act. And that's a powerful story, one to hear, but when we think about it in our own lives, how do we do that? What does it really mean to do that in our own lives when we're dealing with other people that are hurt or people that are hurting us? You know, I think about the well. We had this opportunity to open this housing program in our community within Bucks County, and we felt this is a great thing. It's needed. Women in our community need a place where they can have long-term respite, long-term care. And so when we started to establish this and had the staff on board, when we started with the property, this 83-acre property, what we instead received was hate from the neighbors. And I mean that, because they made it abundantly clear that they didn't want us there. They had meetings after meetings trying to get the county and the township to shut us down, said, don't let them come because they're going to ruin our house values. They said those words. They said many other things that made it clear that they did not want us there. They would block our driveway with their vehicle. They would drive down the center of the road with their big truck, slowing down our staff and women going to the appointments, scaring the women in our program, scaring our staff. And time and time again, this happened. They let us know that they didn't want us in their neighborhood. But how do we respond? What do we do as believers? Well, Christmas morning was only a few months ago, and I received a text, and it was an unexpected text, because I was thinking Christmas morning, I'm going to wake up and enjoy Christmas with my kids. But instead, this text message was a picture of trees that had fallen all down on the driveway at the well. The Christmas Eve, that evening, we had a large storm that came through, and it blew a bunch of trees down, so our staff couldn't get in and out. So I said, I can't make it so that a volunteer goes over. I'll go over. I told my wife I'd be back as soon as I could. I left around 7:30-ish, got there 8 a.m. in the rain. I'm chainsawing these trees up. And as I'm doing that, this same neighbor comes walking out. And he's watching me Christmas morning cutting up trees, interrupting his morning. And as he's standing there, he's not saying a word, just kind of staring at me. And I'm thinking to myself, now what? And I kept cutting, and he stepped a little closer, and then I realized, I guess he wants to say something. So I turned the chainsaw off, and I looked at him, and he said, can I help? I thought, well, yeah. I mean, it's not what I was expecting you to say, but I could use the help. And he said, okay, well, I have a tractor. And he says, why don't I get my tractor? And he brings this tractor over, and he starts pushing the trees off the driveway. And then he goes and he gets gravel, and he starts filling in this trench that had washed away. And then he stops his tractor, and he says to me, Dan, Merry Christmas. Go home, be with your kids. And he extends his hand, and I shake it. And he did this after all that other stuff. And I know what I wanted to say to him before, and what I would have said to him before would have been just. It would have been hurtful, but it would have been just, I feel, because he did something wrong to me, and we were in the right trying to serve others, but instead we tried to show mercy because Jesus more often than not showed mercy than justice. More often than not, he forgave than overturned tables. And so I saw this moment, this glimpse of what Jesus is trying to demonstrate to us is that when you do this, when you show that you care for someone because they are valued because I created them in my image, that he can change hearts. And this is what we try to instill in the women that are in our programs, that we are valued, you are valued, you are worthwhile, you are worth it. That's why we take time for you. That's why we do this. That's why we seek to serve. And remember, though, at the beginning I shared that mercy can be uncomfortable because we have to accept the debt. And so showing mercy to that neighbor wasn't easy, but ultimately we see how God works it out. And justice, it can be complicated because at times we don't know when we should pursue justice. When do I tell the neighbor off? Or other times we need to leave it in God's hands and we can see what he does. And so that big question then is why, though? Why should we hunger for justice and show mercy? Why do we present ourselves daily as a living sacrifice? Well, the passage that you all have been reading throughout this, Micah 6:8, he has shown you, O mortal, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you to act justly, to love mercy and walk humbly with your God. What it says here so acutely, it doesn't say it is recommended of you. It is hoped for from you. No, it says it's required of you. So do we live our lives as a living sacrifice? How do we then apply that Romans 12 passage 1 and 2 and that Matthew 5, 6, and 7? How do we put this into action? Well, there's a phrase I like to borrow from the French culinary world. It's a phrase called mise en place. And it's a French term meaning everything in its place. So the great chefs, the culinary chefs in the French cuisine, would when they prepare a meal, they don't just quickly start throwing things in the pans and the pots. They first prepare everything. They peel the carrots, they cut the meat, they measure the spices, they do everything, put everything in its place before even moving forward. Where the young chefs, the young cooks, perhaps myself included, start to throw an egg in the pan, it starts burning before I get to the next thing because we just get excited. We don't put things in the place as they should, in the order that they should. And so the way that we prepare our lives is that every day, daily, we need to pursue God. Every day, we need to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Understanding that sometimes we are tempted in this world around us to pursue things, to pursue stuff, but the pursuit of stuff, of self, will always lead to discontentment. The pursuit of God will lead to a life that is well used and a life that is full and fulfilling. So are we preparing ourselves daily? Are we putting everything in its place every day to be used by God? Are we living a life that's honoring to God? It doesn't revolve around us. We have to understand that serving God, following God, it requires justice, it requires mercy. But there's more than that too. There's also serving and getting involved in serving others. And so you have the opportunity. We are happy to remove the barriers for you to get involved. We are happy to make it easy to know that there's a mission field that you don't have to go very far to. There's a mission field here. And so you can get involved here in several different ways. There's the ways to get involved through serving, through volunteering. You can give financially, you can give of your time if you want to help with working on projects. And you can help us as we work to grow these ministry, these programs. We'd love work teams to come join with us. And I think so often we think, I have to go far, I have to go travel somewhere to serve the Lord. go somewhere where it's nice and warm and sunny with some sand. You know, I can't promise you that, but if you want to come serve with us, I'll give you a coconut with a straw in it. You can pretend you went somewhere nice, but we want you to get involved with us. And we actually made it so much easier because you might be saying, hey, the weather's turning nice. I'm going to get outside. I like walking. I like riding my bike. I like going for a swim or a kayak. We have another way you can get involved too, because right now we have something going on called the ACT Challenge. And the ACT Challenge is encouraging people to go out and act worthwhile. If you go on social media and search the hashtag ActWorthwhile, you'll see people from all across the country posting things that they've done, because we right now we have sponsors that are supporting us in a financial contribution for every mile. Right now on our website, it's actually not updated. It says for every mile you log on our website, it's a $1.65 donation. But as of this morning, it's actually $1.75. So if you do a 10-mile bike ride and you log that, that's all you have to do. Just put your name and the miles. That's a $17.50 match that will be given from our sponsors. But instead of me talking about it, because I've talked a lot already, I'm going to quick show you a video of what this ACT Challenge is. So we'd love you to join with us in this way, and you don't have to give money. You can just go out and say, I want to join with you in this. And so this started on May 1st. So if you have logged miles from May 1st till now, and you can accurately record them and put them on there, that'll count towards the donation. We're doing this all the way up until July 30th, which is World Day Against Trafficking. A great way to end this and a culmination of hard work put in by our community. We actually also have, if you say, hey, maybe I do want to give towards this, we had a family step up last week and said, we want to make a $25,000 matching gift challenge. So if other sponsors want to step in and say, hey, I'll give, you can contribute, you know, 1 cent per mile. I gave 2 cents per mile because I really like to give my 2 cents. It's pretty cheesy, but I did that. I did. But others give more, others give less, or others say, hey, I'm just going to go out and log my miles. But it's a way to raise awareness, because people then will see that. Maybe you share it on social media. They go, why are you doing this? Well, you tell them, well, human trafficking is happening, and our church is playing a part. We serve women in our community through the Worth It program. We work alongside a partnership that provides long-term housing and outreach programs to them. And this is how people can learn about it. Also understand that the funds that are being raised from this are going towards expanding our WELL program, the graduated housing, to renovate that. They're going to adding the classrooms onto our education and center. The funds are going towards expanding the Worth It program. They're going towards starting a new worthwhile thrift site so that we can employ more survivors. So it's all going towards something very valuable, very worthwhile. And I started the sermon, I shared a little bit about William Wilberforce, but one of the things he shared is a great kind of summary of his life and what it meant to him to follow Christ. He said, how can you measure the value of good news of Christ? How can you measure it? Well, it's spoken of in the Bible as light in the darkness, freedom from slavery and life from death. The value of the good news is that it can overcome. It can provide freedom. It is a light that can pierce even the darkest dark. And we may get weighed down by our own sins, our sins of addiction, our sins of anger, our sins of lust, our overwhelming fear and anxiety that we have. But Jesus has come, and he has issued the ultimate credit and balanced the scale, offering us eternal life by offering his life for ours. And so this is an opportunity for us to be shown mercy, but also to show mercy to others, to better know this Christ who righted the scale of justice. And justice and mercy, it starts with us. but ultimately it ends with Christ. Justice and mercy are completed through him. And we can serve Christ by giving our lives to him daily because he gave his life for us. You know, we try to enact justice and mercy in our limited scale, in our finite way, in the small spectrum that we can. We have short lives. We try our best to do it and give it to others around us in our lives. We don't do it perfectly, and we don't always succeed at it. But Jesus, understand, he has an eternal objective, and he serves a greater purpose. And true justice and mercy is only accomplished through him. It starts with us, but ends with him. And in closing, I'd say, just think of a bookshelf. This is a bookshelf unlike any other. And on this bookshelf are the names of people that you know in society or you've heard about. On the top shelf, you'd put maybe the best people you've ever heard of. Mother Teresa, Billy Graham, Matt Rosenfeld, Dave Matthewson, all the best, right at the top. Next would be maybe you. You do good work. You know, you serve in the church. You do good things. Maybe the next shelf below you is people that just kind of get by in life. They're not a burden to society, but they don't really do a whole lot. Then under them are the people that are a burden to society, criminals, people that aren't good. And then below them are the worst of the worst, the Hitlers, the Stalins, people like that, right? And you're given this tool where you can draw a line across the bookshelf, and you're told that if you draw a line wherever you draw it, those above the line have access to heaven, those below hell. And you can't draw a line below the bookshelf. You have to draw it somewhere on the shelves. I think most of us would have some level of graciousness, and we'd draw a line maybe not just at our shelf, but maybe the shelf below us. And we say, okay, we'll let those below us even into heaven. But if Jesus were to step in and take that tool from your hand, he would draw a different line. He wouldn't draw a horizontal line across that bookshelf, because he ultimately can enact true justice and true mercy. He would take that tool and he'd draw a vertical line, meaning that all have access to him, from the best of the best to the worst of the worst. All that call upon his name can receive him and be forgiven. And so when we think about ultimately what is the way that we are to administer justice and mercy, how do we do it? Well, we do it through sharing the good news of the gospel, because the gospel brings true justice. It forgives all. It lets people know that you are forgiven. I have come and I have righted the scale. And because of that, all have access to Jesus and eternal life. And so the culmination of this series, what is true justice? How do you do it? Well, you share the good news. And through the good news, God makes everything right. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We know we are imperfect. We try our best to follow you, follow your lead, and it may not always be right, but Lord, we know that we can lead others to you through our acts of mercy and seeing how you ultimately right the scale. You are the true justice. And Lord, I thank you for this church as we serve together, serve in partnership, women that have been hurt, and show them the love that you have shown us all. There's a bigger story here, Lord. There's an eternal one. And help us to continue to share that love, that gospel with others, so that they can ultimately experience justice, ultimately experience mercy, and ultimately experience you, Lord, and the eternal gift that you've given to all of us. We thank you for this opportunity. In your name we pray. Amen.
Feel free to stand and join us as we sing together.
Thank you, Dan, for wrapping up our series. Appreciate you being with us today. And make sure you stop out at the Worthwhile Wear table afterwards. Say hello to Dan. Check out the ministry. I know you appreciate that. It would be a good thing to do. I'd like to take just a couple of minutes as we finish today and wrap up our series. You know, 6 weeks we've been talking about justice. And I'm sure for some of you it's met some of your expectations. For some of you, probably not. There's so much more that could be said. And yet we didn't want to do the rest of the year on justice. We didn't really think that would probably be profitable for any of us, right? But there are things that I hope that we've learned, things that we've gained. So let me just summarize a little bit of where we've come and where I hope we will go. Because it doesn't end here. The series might, but our participation in what we're called to needs to go far beyond these weeks that we've shared together. We saw that justice is rooted in the character of God, because it is important to him, it should be important to us. It's a non-negotiable. We can't just say, oh, justice, and not get involved. We have to discover what it means and what it looks like. It matters to God. We define justice as giving people their due. And along those lines, we saw that there's two sides of justice. There's a retributive side, that the punishment side, that punishment should be fair and equal, not dependent upon who you are, but if you've done this, this is what you get, and that applies to all people. There is that side of justice. But there's also a restorative side. This is the idea of lifting up others, purposely taking action to help those around us, to restore. We talked about two principles that form the foundation of our conversations and actions regarding justice, and they have helped me as I've had conversations. They've helped me as I've processed some of the tough issues that we face. You've heard them most weeks, and the first is we are all valuable because we are all made in the image of God. You heard it again today, and that means that all people should be treated with dignity and respect. We are responsible to not only receive the value that God imparts in us because he's made us, but also to recognize that value in others and how we treat them. And the second principle is we are all flawed because we are all tainted by sin. Yes, we are all valuable. We are all gifted. We all have great potential that God's put within us, but we are all tainted. We are all tempted at times to seek our own status, to seek what's just good for me, no matter if it's good for you or not, to let you be on your own while I take care of myself, even to the point at times of pulling others down in order to elevate ourselves. We trace these themes throughout the Old Testament, the life of Jesus, the New Testament, regarding specific topics as we address race last week, and you heard about human trafficking this week. And here's the goals that I hope we've not only sought to achieve, but continue to see moving forward. And there's three of them. First of all, our desire is to promote conversation, that it's okay to talk about these things. Sometimes I think we're afraid to even navigate or try to talk about some of these topics because we're not sure how we're going to be taken, or we'll say the wrong thing, or just gets too emotional and there's such strong opinions. But again, if justice matters to God and it matters to us, we've got to enter into some of these conversations, even if they are uncomfortable. Yes, we should enter in with grace, understanding that we won't always say it right, and neither will the person we might be dialoguing with. Yes, we may have different opinions about things, but if we can agree on these principles of we're all valuable and we're all flawed, hopefully we can listen to one another. In conversation, we need to give more time listening than maybe trying to make our point. And we can all benefit from that. So I hope that it promotes conversation and provides a framework to talk about tough issues. Our second hope is that it promotes learning, that you've learned some things about some topics that perhaps you didn't know before, maybe were reinforced for you. Opportunities to learn what ministries in our area are doing to help those who are vulnerable or marginalized. You've heard from organizations like Bethany Christian Services and Worthwhile Wear. We've talked about the Jesus Food Pantry. I would just encourage you, check out their websites. Just take some time to go to their website and look around. And certainly they're not the only ones. These ministries are doing some great things in our community, and there's other ones that are as well. But spend some time just researching and checking out what these ministries are doing. We have further opportunities for you to increase your learning. We have the roundtable discussion on justice and race that's coming up on Thursday, June 3rd at 7 p.m. You can also watch that on our website. You'll have opportunity to ask questions yourself, as well as some will come from a moderator. And we hope that this will, again, promote conversation and learning. If you plan to watch on Zoom and you want to submit a question, can I encourage you to send that into the office ahead of time so we have it and we can use it that night? I'll be hosting a book club discussing Beyond Racial Gridlock starting Wednesday evening, June 16th on Zoom. I think this book has some great things for us just to interact with to help our understanding of the racial issues that we face, especially in our country, and perhaps a path forward from a Christian point of view. And then in line with what we've learned this morning, we'll be hosting the showing of a documentary called From Liberty to Captivity. Yeah, you heard me right. From Liberty to Captivity, focusing on sex trafficking right here in Pennsylvania. You'll see some faces that you recognize in this documentary. This has been shown all around our country. It's won several awards. That'll be on Saturday, June 19th in the evening. All of this information is on the hub or will be, so you can check that out there. And we would encourage you to just increase your opportunities to learn. Take advantage of these. Yes, in some of these situations, we may not all agree, but that's okay. We've got to be able to talk, to move forward, to learn from one another. And then lastly, our desire is to promote action. So not only conversation and learning, but action, that we would take action and do something with what we've learned. We've already talked about opportunities to donate to the Jesus Food Pantry, looking into foster care with Bethany Christian Services. You heard here this morning about volunteering with Worthwhile Wear, participating in the challenge, the financial challenge that they have in logging your miles. They're all just some very tangible things that we can get involved in. Around the world, especially through Davisville, you can support a child in Cambodia through the Plot Pride Ministry with Jim and Carolyn. You heard them talk about that. Refuge for the Poor with Greg and Jane Drebus. There's plenty of opportunities, but how are we getting involved in seeking to pursue especially restorative justice? Because again, if it matters to God, it needs to matter to us. So let's take it upon ourselves to say, I'm not going to let these 6 weeks go. And just another series that happened. Glad we got through it. And let's move on to the next thing. But let's take the opportunities that are in front of us and do something with them. And see what God will do. I believe he wants us to step in these directions. Where are we going from here? Well, over the next 4 weeks, Pastor Bobby and Pastor Matt are going to take you through a series on Psalm 51 called Restore. I think you'll really enjoy the series, and I think it's a good timing for us as a church family and some great principles that they'll be sharing with us. So that'll be starting next Sunday. And then lastly, let me just remind us of the verse. Dan said it, we've said it, and simply this in Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. O mortal, O human, O human of value because God made you, but O human that is under the authority of God. He is so above us. He is so far greater than we are. Remember our place. What does the Lord require of you? What does this God that's above us want from us, right? To act justly, to do something, to love mercy, not revenge or getting other people. And to walk humbly with your God, to recognize our place, that he is above, and we are to walk in humble obedience to him. As we do that, God will bless. We will see things happen that are pleasing to him, and that's the heart of our leadership here, that we would see that for all of us at Davisville. Would you stand as we pray together? And then one last invitation, if you're new, please come on, head out after for the meet and greet. Love to interact with you, get to know you a little bit. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this opportunity we've had, not only today, but over the last weeks, to look at this topic of justice. It's a huge topic with so many ramifications. And yet I thank you, Father, that you have made it clear in your word, the responsibilities that we have. You've given us principles upon which to make decisions and to look at the things that are happening in front of us. You've also taught us to be listeners and to be gracious, to be humble, because we don't have it all right ourselves. And we can learn from each other as we need to, first of all, learn from you and from your word. And so I pray that during these weeks that we've done this, that we would have done that. We would have learned from your word, that we begin to have conversations where we learn from each other, that we would take opportunities to increase our learning, and that we would act, that we would be involved in some tangible way. And I know many of us already are. But perhaps you're spurring something in our hearts, something, a new challenge, a new opportunity. Help us to say yes to whatever it is your Spirit's leading us to, and to do it with joy, knowing that you will take those efforts that are insufficient, but you will match them with your power to do something that's beyond what we could even imagine for your honor and glory, and that's what it's about. And so for this I pray, for our church family at Davisville, in Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.